try.
I looked at my watch. Only a minute and 5 seconds gone. I have no idea, I said again.
Then let me help you, she said. I'm in bed. I've just come out of the shower, and I'm not wearing a thing.
Oh, great. Telephone sex.
Or would you prefer me with something on? Something lacy, or stockings? Would that work better for you?
I don't give a damn. Do what you like, I said. Put something on if you want to. Stay naked if you want to. Sorry, but I'm not interested in telephone games like this. I've got a lot of things I have to...
10 minutes, she said. 10 minutes won't kill you. It won't make a hole in your life. Just answer my question. Do you want me naked or with something on? I've got all kinds of things I could put on. Black lace panties.
Naked is fine.
Well, good. You want me naked?
Yes, naked. Good. 4 minutes.
My pubic hair is still wet, she said. I didn't dry myself very well. Oh, I'm so wet, warm and moist, and soft, wonderfully soft and black. Touch me.
Look, I'm sorry, but...
And down below, too. All the way down. It's so warm down there. Like butter. So warm. Mm. And my legs. What position do you think my legs are in? My right knee is up, and my left leg is open just enough. Say 10:05 on the clock.
I could tell from her voice that she was not faking it. She really did have her legs open at 10:05. Her sex warm and moist.
Touch the lips. She said, slowly. Oh, now open them. That's it. Slowly, slowly. Let your fingers caress them. Oh, so slowly. Now with your other hand, touch my left breast. Play with it. Caress it. Upward. Oh, and give the nipple a little squeeze. Oh, do it again and again and again until I'm just about to come.
Without a word, I put the receiver down. Stretching out on a sofa, I stared at the clock and released a long, deep sigh. We'd been talking for close to 6 minutes. The phone rang again 10 minutes later, but I left it on the hook. It rang 15 times, and when it stopped, a deep, cold silence descended on the room. Just before 2, I climbed over the breeze block wall and down into the alley, or what we called the alley. It was not an alley in the proper sense, but then there was probably no word for what it was. It wasn't a road, or a path, or even a way. Properly speaking, a way should be a pathway or channel with an entrance and an exit, which takes you somewhere if you follow it. But our alley had neither entrance nor exit. You couldn't call it a cul-de-sac either. A cul-de-sac has at least one open end. The alley had not one dead end, but 2. The people in the neighborhood called it the alley as an expedient. It was some 200 yards in length and threaded its way between the back gardens of the houses that lined either side. It was barely over 3 feet in width, and at several points you had to edge through sideways because of fences sticking out into the path or things that people had left in the way. About this alley, the story was... The story I heard from my uncle, who rented us our house for next to nothing, that it used to have both an entrance and an exit, and served the purpose of providing a shortcut between 2 streets. But with the rapid economic growth of the mid-50s, rows of new houses came to fill the empty lots on either side of the road, squeezing it until it was little more than a narrow path. People didn't like strangers passing so close to their houses and yards, so before long, one end of the path was blocked off, or rather screened off, with an unassertive fence. Then one local citizen decided to enlarge his yard and sealed off his end of the alley with a breeze block wall. As if in response, a barbed wire fence went up at the other end, preventing even dogs from getting through. None of the neighbors complained, because none of them used the alley as a passageway, and they were just as happy to have this extra protection against crime. As a result, the alley remained as a kind of abandoned canal, unused.